Lingua Britannica is a podcast that uses ethnographic interviews to study language use in the extreme metal community. We are studying a music scene known for its love of themes and topics generally considered offensive, and it is likely that some episodes will touch on topics or opinions some listeners may find tasteless or ethically problematic. Ethnographic researchers aim to adopt the interviewee's point of view so that we can draw out and study the attitudes, beliefs, and practices that are important to them. We want to make it clear that in presenting these conversations here, we do not endorse any of their content. Our aim is to explore the thought processes behind language use in this long-running, international, and yet understudied scene. Hi, and welcome back to Lingua Britannica with me, Jess Crook, and my co-host, Wes Robertson.
Hello.
In this episode, we're speaking to Brenna Moat from Brat. Thanks for being with us, Brenna. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So how would you describe Brat's music for someone who hasn't heard it before?
Well, it's kind of a mashup of every heavy genre that I like, which... is everything from, you know, power violence and grind to death metal and thrash and hardcore. So it's kind of a little bit of a melting pot of everything. Like, you know, whenever we set out to write, we don't say like, oh, this is going to sound like this sort of song. Just whatever comes out. So as far as sound, like, it's not a purist band by any means, just any kind of heavy music, really.
In previous interviews, you've described your music as bimbo violence. Could you tell us a bit about what this means?
So our aesthetic features a lot of pink and pop icons and things like that. So bimbo violence has kind of come to be like a big overarching theme of everything the band does. Like, you used to describe that sort of genre mashup with the juxtaposition of the pink and we play pop samples live in between our songs. Mm-hmm. And just everything is glittery, and all our merch just features a lot of bright colors and just like a feminine aesthetic. So that kind of just encompasses everything that bimbo violence is.
Does it affect the musical practice? Like, is bimbo violence a visual element, or do you consider it an audible element as well?
I feel like it's primarily visual, but you know, the genres that we cover, you know, sometimes we just like to call it bimbo violence because it's easier than saying death, thrash, grind, power violence, hardcore, you know. So it could be both.
Well, as you said, that aesthetic that is very, you know, striking. It's a very kind of iconic component, you know, of your work. And as you started to explain, you know, for those who haven't seen it before, it often does combine these kind of like pretty pink, like Barbie doll aesthetic, you know, that's combined with like a lot of other genre elements that are more recognizable in metal. So specifically, if we would look at your, you know, EP and album covers, there's, you know, a lot of recognizably metal images, like, you know, weapons, black and white photography, black little fonts. But there is also, you know, these elements of like pretty in pink, like pop culture. So 2000s flip phones, like tea and cake, Pomeranian dog and handwriting font, all against this kind of iconic Barbie pink background. So have you faced any criticism in combining these more traditionally metal and non-metal elements, and how have people received it?
There's been a little bit of criticism from, as we say, like neckbeards online. But like, for the most part, like, it's been overwhelmingly positive. Like, we were a little bit concerned on the first couple, like, big support tours we did, because they were with, like, more old school bands. Like, we went out with I Hate God and Cro-Mags, and we were like, oh, we don't know how our band is going to be received at these shows. But, like, 99%, it was great. Like, people were open to it, and, like, you know, pretty much anybody who doesn't take themselves extremely seriously is gonna just have fun with it and enjoy it, which is the goal. So It's been great. You know, most people just say that it's refreshing. It's just something different. So
before you started this band, how did you decide on the style? Like you mentioned that it's sort of a blend of musical styles. Have you always been someone that's been into like all these different types of metal, or how did you kind of, you know, get to the array of influences you have now?
Like personally, I am into almost every type of music that's out there. Like I listen to a lot of like electronic music. Like I love Aphex Twin and stuff like that. And I grew up on punk and ska. And like as an adult, I love dream pop and shoegaze. So like there's just too much music out there to enjoy only a tiny facet of it. So that just wide taste kind of reflects in the writing of heavy music, because I just want to use every style of heavy music that I like. So that wasn't so much an intention as more of like a non-intention, I guess, if that makes sense.
Okay. But when you were younger and first getting into metal, did you start with this kind of eclectic everything interest? Has this always been like an attribute of how you engage with music?
No. It started out with punk. Whenever I was 4 years old, I stole my older brother's Rancid CD from his bedroom. And it just kind of went from there, because my siblings are, you know, over a decade older than me. And my sister, 13 years older than me, dated dudes in punk bands and then brought that kind of music home. And then as a very young child, I was just getting into that kind of stuff. So it was punk until I was like a teenager. Like a late teenager, whenever I started really getting into metal.
And, you know, when you were getting into metal, did you ever kind of feel attracted to lyrics? Like, were you someone who was aware of kind of lyrical trends and that kind of thing? Were you interested in kind of like poring over lyric sheets, or is this not something that you paid attention to?
No, not particularly. I didn't like pay attention to lyrics too much, except for like a few very specific bands, and, none of those bands are metal bands, but I am really into just like creative writing and literature in general. I read a lot. I've been into creative writing since I was a kid. So I'd say it stems more from that than actually reading other people's lyrics.
So then do you think, like, now that you do write lyrics, has that changed? Like, do you have a conception of what would make like a metal band's lyrics different from a non-metal band's lyrics, or do you not really concern yourself with that at all?
No, I do. I feel like traditionally, you know, metal lyrics tend to be darker, just in sort of a wide perspective, but like not necessarily, you know, every band that isn't metal isn't not going to have dark lyrics, but it just seems more universal that lyrics are darker in metal. Or more of a just negative perspective, I guess.
How about in terms of what makes for good and bad metal lyrics? Like, do you have a sense of, at least like on a personal level, you know, what makes for lyrics that you generally think are like, you know, good quality metal lyrics?
Like I was saying about coming from like a creative writing standpoint, I like words that fit together, and I know that's an extremely subjective thing, but just like words that kind of roll off the tongue better. I like you know, like classic writing techniques like metaphors and similes and alliterations and things like that. So like good examples of those things always stand out to me, instead of like clunky language or just like simple, just like overly simple phrases and things like that. And I don't like super, super wordy bands, but I feel like you can overdo it, and you can also underdo it. I don't know. It's such a subjective thing. It's really hard to say.
And have you noticed any changes in how you approach lyrics since you started this band versus moving into releasing a full album?
Yeah, I would say so. Cause the first couple EPs, I feel like the theme was almost universally the same, which is just like the futility of life and just the human race as a whole. But the album is still a whole lot of that, but I did branch out a little bit more on the album. So
it's been like more of a thematic growth than a stylistic one, do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. My style has pretty much stayed the same lyrically, but it's just the themes are a little more branched out, a little more diverse.
Well, we will get into that, but before we do, one final kind of general question we wanted to ask is just regarding this kind of ongoing debate on whether or not extreme metal should be viewed as kind of escapist fantasy or just entertainment, or if it should be instead kind of viewed as a genuine reflection of the artist's like own views, politics, and identities. What is your position on this? Like, do you kind of lean more one way or the other?
No, I think it can be any of these things. Personally, I think our band in particular falls much more into the entertainment spectrum, because our mission is just to have a good time and for people at our shows to have a good time. It's not something that, you know, the way we always say it is that we take the music seriously, but we don't take ourselves super seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we just want to have a good time. Like, as far as like making, a statement or anything like that, we like with the aesthetic and everything, it has a, very sweet side effect of just, you know, disarming people in a way that just makes them feel comfortable at a metal show that they might not otherwise feel comfortable at. Like, you know, people who don't traditionally feel like they fit in at metal shows being like just, you know, cis white guys. So that's a really cool side effect of our, you know, feminine aesthetic and everything like that. So, but for the most part, like it's just a good time.
Well, to jump into the lyrics a bit more, as mentioned, you've described the music as kind of a Bimbo Violence style that you have, or sorry, the music, the band. But other outlets have called you, for instance, grindcore, power violence. Do any of these labels or do any of these approaches that you use like affect how you actually write the lyrics? Like, are there things that you do differently that you think you wouldn't do if you were, say, like just a death metal act or like a black metal act? Does the genre you're in, regardless of how you define it, affect your writing approach?
No, not particularly, because I was in a primarily hardcore band, you know, a few years before Brat, where I also wrote all the lyrics, and my themes and style were pretty much the same. If the music is heavy like this, the lyric is the lyrics are going to be the same from me at least.
Well, looking at those lyrics, we noted that we felt there was a kind of contrast to the pink aesthetic that you mentioned earlier. A lot of your lyrics do focus on a kind of more resigned suffering and pain. So, for instance, we see this in lyrics for chain pain that includes lines from the moment you're pushed out, this is your fate ripped out, torn down. Grime Boss has lines crushing weight of hurt to come, those who have love for none, and Rope Drag's opening lines read self-arrest, no one's coming, hope is not a plan. And these are all seem to point to a kind of resignation and these lyrics all seem to point to a kind of resignation. So what made it motivated you to explore these themes that seem so distinct from Brat's otherwise kind of sweet pink styling?
You know, it's kind of a like a what came first, the chicken or the egg type question. So I think the lyrics and the lyrical style is what came first, and then once we started doing the whole aesthetic, it just made that juxtaposition just that much more sharp, which we thought was really cool. Inspiration wise, I'm really actually a very positive person. People who read the lyrics are always like, "Are you okay?" But I'm like, "Yes, I'm fine." I just have a penchant for really dark literature. Like, you know, I love Stephen King and just anything horror related. So I tend more on the psychological side of horror So lots of hopelessness and despair. Yeah. The lyrics from Rope Drag are actually a couple lines I took from a podcast that I heard about. I'm really outdoorsy as well, and I listen to like outdoors podcasts, and it was a survival story of someone who was like trapped on a mountain in a blizzard, and that was exactly what they said that they were thinking. You know, no one's coming, hope is not a plan. And then I kind of ran with that and just wrote the rest of the lyrics of the song based off of that.
Why did that line stick with you so much, do you think?
I don't know. It just really stuck with me. It just sounded like something that I would write.
Okay, fair enough. Well, on the new album, though, although you still have a lot of lyrics that are focused on kind of difficulty and suffering, there does seem to be some lyrics that are a bit more hopeful, like lines such as "I will not bend," "refusal to submit," and "resolve to persevere." Was this a conscious shift? And if so, what kind of brought it on?
So that was actually the later part of that same song with those lines about hope is not a plan. So... you know, that is just about refusing to be crushed by the weight of the circumstances that life gives you sometimes, even though, you know, things could seem totally hopeless and dark. And that is how that that podcast ended as well. That person did, you know, get out of that terrible situation by sheer force of will and determination. So, yeah, I was just really inspired by that story. So that, kind of has a lot to do with it.
Did that impact other songs on the album or just that one?
Just that one.
Okay. Interesting. Well, while the themes of your lyrics are, you know, relatively easy to divine, the lyrics don't seem to kind of clearly reference any specific events or the story that you've just told, right? So it seems like many of the lyrics that, you know, featured on this podcast do tend to have that more kind of narrative structure. So we were wondering, you know, was this an intentional choice to make the lyrics, for, you know, lack of a better word, more vague rather than specific?
Yeah, I definitely lean more towards the cryptic side. I was also a big Mars Volta fan growing up, and that's a band that that I did pay attention to the lyrics of, and they're a band that has literally come out and said, like, yeah, a lot of our lyrics make absolutely no sense. We just like words that sound good together. And I always enjoyed that. So they always lean more towards the cryptic side as well, and that's just where my taste lies more as well.
I mean, would you find it difficult to write lyrics that were more directly reflected or even mentioned, like the band's pink imagery? Like, would it be possible to write brutal death metal lyrics about Barbie or inspired by 90s, 2000s pop? Or conversely, do you think that what you're doing, the way you're approaching the lyrics, is already incorporating these themes in a subtle way?
You know, I've thought about that before. Whenever we were getting started, we thought about writing a song about TJ Maxx, or like the lyrics about the TJ Maxx store, because Elizabeth is a huge TJ Maxxinista. And but ultimately we decided that like the music should be kept serious, and that, you know, we should just keep that as it is, and you know, keep the humor and the less serious side of it to the aesthetic and the live shows. So that we have also talked about, like, should we do samples and stuff on our albums or our recordings or anything like that? And aside from the obvious, like, copyright issues that we would have to go through, we were just like, you know, we just want to keep the music just the music.
Well, from the pink imagery, you know, use of terms like bimbo violence, italic fonts, and the halo over the letters, you know, RA in your logo, there are definitely items which seem to point to a kind of stereotype of femininity. But we didn't notice any references to explicit gender politics or women's issues in your lyrics. Indeed, outside of the song title, B, bitch muscle, like, even mentions of women are relatively rare or non-existent. There's one reference to daughters, but two to sons, and two to the heart of man. So is this a disconnect? As in, like, do you view the band's lyrics and imagery as kind of these distinct entities? Or are the contrasts attempts to play with and overturn repressive stereotypes of femininity as fitting into these simple sets of colors and items?
That's a great question. So I think they're just distinct things, because whenever I'm writing the lyrics, I don't particularly consider the aesthetic or anything else like that. And a lot of the song titles don't really have a lot to do with the actual lyrical content of the songs. A couple of them do, like Human Offense, for instance. That's just a lyric, a line in the song that we thought sounded cool, so we took that. But me and Elizabeth literally keep a list whenever we're in conversation, and we say something funny or say something striking in a way. We were like, oh, put that down in the song name list. And I think one day we said bitch muscle out of nowhere. I don't even remember the context. And we were like, oh, that'd be a good song name. And yeah, as far as the lyrics and the image, you know, the things are distinct for sure.
Is there a reason why you're trying to keep it distinct? Like, I guess we were a little surprised before we looked at your lyrics in more depth that the sort of imagery that you were having as a band didn't seem to bleed into the lyrics. And I know you mentioned wanting to keep them like serious, but certainly the issues that you talked about, like being accepted in the scene, you know, embracing silliness and stuff can be serious issues, right? Like, but yeah. Is there a conscious like split between like the two parts of the art form that aren't allowed to blend, or do you feel that they are blended, just not in a way that we're kind of grasping?
No, I think it's a purposeful thing at this point to keep them separate, just because the main thing being, if somebody knows nothing about our band and just stumbles upon our music online with just a song file or something, or a record in a record store without knowing anything else about us, we want that person to just be able to pick up the record or pick up the song and listen to it and say, hey, that's a good song, and not, you know, have any other sort of notions about it based on the aesthetic or anything else. We just want it to be a good song.
Okay. So do you view the rest of that stuff as kind of like the coding, I guess, like the extra, what surrounds the music, or is it just as important but in a different way?
I'd say it's as important for the live show and everything else about the band, but the music itself, we wanted it to be able to stand on its own.
Well, speaking of other kind of themes that we saw, one that was particularly surprising was that of kind of Judeo-Christian and Roman mythology. And this theme has become more explicit over time, it seems. So, for example, lyrics from Bought the Farm refer to ground unsacred, earth unsalted, land unholy, and locusts feasting. And mean is what we aim for includes the lines like lambs to the slaughter, which share a more kind of indirect relationship with Judeo-Christian mythology. However, your more recent releases include more direct reference to these contexts. For instance, your song Slow Heat references Bedlam, Abram's Gate, Hell and Sheol, the home of the dead from the Torah or Old Testament. And Social Grace references Terra, the Roman goddess of the earth. So what inspired you to include these references in your songs, and why do you think references to mythology have been made more explicit as time has gone on?
The honest and true answer is I've read more Stephen King books.
Okay.
And he makes a lot of references to the same sort of mythology. So just sort of inspiration there. And as far as like the stuff in Slow Heat with like Abram's Gate and Sheol, I was literally just trying to think of more symbology of hell and things like that. So I was just searching as much as I could up on that.
Why are you looking for more symbology? Like, what was the goal in not just saying hell?
I mean, I feel like going back to like a creative writing standpoint, I just don't like to use the same words or terms too many times. I like to keep it interesting and mix it up. And yeah, that's pretty much it for that. Like to keep it interesting.
Well, metal itself obviously is no stranger to like religious imagery and discussion. Does the prevalence of religious symbolism and metal influence your choice to integrate these images into your lyrics at all, or is this entirely is that not a concern at all or a coincidence?
Well, the inspiration was definitely more from the Stephen King stuff, but also, you know, fully understand that sort of those sort of themes are definitely at home in this style of music. Like I knew that, you know, it wouldn't be like trying to put the symbology of hell in like an indie song or something like that, which would seem like weird and out of place. Although some bands do it well, but you know, it's much more common in metal.
So it's more than you find like metal's welcoming for these rather than you're trying to match a kind of metal stereotype.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, another kind of regular theme that we see is misanthropy. So your early work has lines like realizing we are futile from the moment that you're pushed out, this is your fate, and fucking human waste. And your most recent album mentions human offense, know these wasted years only end in tears, and light has left us slipping away, and utter distaste for the human race. So do you see your work as embracing a sort of kind of anti-human theming? And if so, why do you return to this topic so regularly?
Yeah, I definitely say that's the common theme. And I feel like, personally, like I said, I'm like a very positive person, and I think there's a lot of beauty in humanity. But also, I definitely tend to favor the natural world over the human world. And I just, whenever I'm in nature or out backpacking or whatever it might be, like, I just think about how much more I enjoy that than the human world. So that's just, I guess, the darker side of my thought processes whenever I'm, you know, out enjoying nature.
Would it be possible to express the positive thoughts you have through this project, or is there something that blocks that? Like you mentioned, you know, being generally a positive person and having positive feelings about humans. Is there a reason that part of you doesn't come out in this expression of your art?
I feel like this is just, I don't feel like I need an outlet for my positivity. My outlet for my positivity comes through my relationships with, you know, my best friends, my band, my partner, Elizabeth. Like, that's my outlet for my positivity. The band and writing these lyrics is my outlet for the negativity, which is, you know, a healthy one. So
that's really interesting that you say that, because I mean, that kind of relates to a lot of comments that we've received from musicians on the podcast about how metal can kind of serve as a space to kind of work through trauma, or a space to kind of express a lot of negative emotions that's like, you know, in broader society might be viewed as kind of unacceptable, at least to, you know, express openly. So, I mean, in your view then, I mean, is this something that you think is very typical of metal, is kind of like serving these kinds of purposes? And, you know, conversely, do you think that metal can serve as a place, you know, to express positivity, if that's indeed something that you feel like you need to do?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a common thing. You know, I do hear that often, that, you know, people use this sort of music to get out what are traditionally viewed as negative emotions of anger or hatred or rage, just things like that. As far as like using it as a positive outlet, you know, that's that's like a curious thing, because I can't think of any examples of people using this sort of music as a positive outlet.
Sure, yeah.
Unless you, you know, consider like Christian metal bands, but even then, you know, they still tend to linger on the darker side of things. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really interesting thought.
Have you found it effective, like therapeutic, to use this outlet?
Yeah, for sure. Especially playing live.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Well, on the flip side of these kind of negative images, we also found, and let us know if we're reading into things too deeply, but a sort of hint that some of the misery that you're discussing, some of the misanthropy, is imposed from above. You have lines like, "They all watch as we start to crack. Gone are our sons and daughters, denied all solace. Trod on those unheard, engulfed from below," or even "yearning for something to change, collapsed wills, squandered efforts," which all make it sound like songs are lamenting ill treatment from an undescribed power or entity which has maybe stolen a future away. Are we right in this interpretation? And if so, is this entity meant to be vague, or are you bemoaning a specific institution or issue?
No, this is great. This is crazy. I feel like no one's ever dived into the lyrics as deeply. So thank you for that. Yeah, no, it's kind of just more of a vague, the powers that be, you know, just organized institutions that hold power, that, you know, weigh that power over, you know, the common person, whether that be the government or religious organizations or anything like that, just the greater powers that be that make life more difficult for your everyday person.
Well, given you've also said that you're, you know, quite an outdoorsy person, we also wondered if there's a potential kind of environmentalism message woven in here. Because on the new album, you mentioned being, you know, trampled under earth, a bitter earth, darkened trees gaze as I fade on earth and ground. My end has been made. Reality ending in dirt. I grit my teeth and plant my feet. Followed by struggle to bear fruit. And finally, you end the album with "No glory, we staked our claim. An earth that hates us, we are to blame. Like rats upon rot, feasting on festered flesh. Picked clean the bones of terror's god's seed is threshed." So our interpretation here is a kind of critique of humanity's stewardship of the planet. But even, you know, if not, references to the ground, earth, and rock far outweigh those to, you know, the sky or, you know, liquid for that matter. So what's the purpose of this regular kind of return to the earthen metaphor?
No, it's good. I feel like the earth just holds so much more weight in my mind than you know, the water or the sky, because ultimately the earth is what we come from and it's what we return to. So I feel like it has much more of a primal feel to it than maybe the other elements, at least for me. And while, you know, on all those other songs besides Social Grace, that's just what I tend to, because I think about the natural world a lot, but the only song that is like very specifically like an environmental theme is Social Grace, for sure.
So is there a goal then in your lyrics to, what's the word I'm looking for here? To have that kind of, you mentioned a primal kind of quality to it. Is that something you want to be evoking, sort of like that sort of primalcy, the connection to what is most fundamental to people?
Not necessarily. I think that's just what connects to me the most. And honestly, like before you brought it up, I never even thought about it that much. So you're making me think about my lyrics in ways that I had never even considered them, which is very cool. But that's just what seems most apparent to me, is it just feels more, something about the earth just feels more human.
So talking about like dirt and ground makes your lyrics feel more human.
Right. Because, you know, the sea and the sky and the water and all that is not our, that's not our wheelhouse as much as the earth.
Interesting. Okay. I'd interpreted the references to nature as like anti-human, opposed, different from, separate from. But I see where you're coming from. It's just it's interesting to realize that
No,
it's connected.
I could totally see that interpretation too. So, like I said, you're making me think about this stuff in ways I hadn't considered before. I love that.
Oh, we love hearing it. Thank you. Well, in terms of language style, we noticed that across your releases, you seem to prefer a kind of quote unquote kind of poetic style, if you like, that has truncated sentences or short lines as opposed to kind of full sentences or prose. So we see this in lines like broken, broken in two, severed, severed in pain from Blood Diamond, or flesh undone, mind collapse, heart unraveled, soul unstitched from Grime Boss. And unborn, untold, to have, to hold, distressed, unblessed, lay still, die rest, from Dreamland. So, is this preference for truncated rather than full sentences like a conscious one? And why do you think it came about?
It is a conscious one for a couple different reasons. The first one being just like coming from that creative writing standpoint, I don't want my lyrics to read like novels. I want it to read more like poetry. But also at the same time, I keep in mind to work with Elizabeth's vocal style, which is more of it's more of like a barking sort of like truncated vocal style rather than like long strings of sentences or words or anything like that. So I keep in mind whenever I'm writing to not keep phrases or too long or like too many syllables in one place because I don't want to give her like spaghetti mouth or anything like that. I don't want to make it too hard on her.
Do you think this style, this kind of truncated style, affects the perceived directness of or ambiguity of your lyrics? Like, do you think the truncation makes it easier or harder to understand or convey certain messages or intents?
Like I was saying before, I do tend to be more on the cryptic side. So I feel like this style makes it easier to do that because if I was using more words and fleshing things out more would make it harder to be cryptic.
Or at least you'd have to work harder at being cryptic, right? I
Yeah, exactly. It
mean,
makes it a little bit easier on me, so I don't mind it.
there's obviously like, I associate it more with black metal, but the super long words, everything's esoteric, cryptic. Would that just not work for a project that sounds like yours?
No, I think it could. I think it could. But it would, probably more have to be with somebody with a different vocal style than Elizabeth, because she likes those like more short, powerful phrases rather than more long, drawn out ones.
Sure.
And is there any kind of reflection on genre here? Like, do you feel any pressure, or inspiration rather to write in this sort of style to pay homage to, the short lines of pioneering acts like, say, Napalm Death or Carcass?
No, not particularly. I don't feel like beholden to any one sort of style because of a genre or another band. That's just what sort of comes out, I think. That's just my preferred writing style.
Okay. Well, on this topic of preferred writing style, and again, referencing your creative writing background, we notice that you have kind of a balance of like straightforward and simple vocabulary with occasionally uncommon or difficult vocabulary. So like on the one hand, you have lines like without or within, there's no time, one way out, I will not bend, or social grace lives a waste, utter distaste for the human race, or out of the blue, into the black, they all watch as we start to crack, which all contain words that are, really just commonplace conversational English, low syllable count. But on the other hand, you do have lyrics that contain phrases like fallow soul, rictus of pain, and truncheon, which are, a bit thicker, a bit more difficult, more uncommon. Did you intend to like sprinkle some of these more uncommon words to balance them? Like, is there a desire to have this kind of light base with a few more difficult words around? Or is this just another kind of thing that happened just by chance? What's the sort of the goal here, if there is one?
I do think that for the most part, keeping the language relatively simple just makes it more approachable, especially for like parts where, you know, at live shows there might be like mic grabs and things like that. Because I do like to think about the listener as well, and like people jumping in at live shows and things like that. And I don't want them to have to recite Victorian era style poetry to have to do a mic grab. So I do consider that, but I also do let the creative writing flow in a little bit to use occasionally a little bit more flowery language.
Is there a limit to how much flowery language do you think a song can or should have, or a Brat song specifically?
Right. Not particularly. I will say that occasionally I have written some lines where Elizabeth is like, I'm not going to sing that because it's just like too many syllables. Like the words are too crazy. Like she's just like, no, like I'm not going to do this. So you got to figure out a different word for this.
How about like in terms of like using a thesaurus? Because obviously like a big debate that we've had on this podcast and, you know, out in the world is, you know, whether or not that lyricists should be using a thesaurus. Or if this is kind of like a cop out. So, what's your stance on that? Do you use a thesaurus? Do you think it's a good idea?
Oh yeah, I definitely look up synonyms whenever I can't think of a different word for something that I want to convey. But I mean, I don't think it's a language. I don't think words are off limits as long as, you know, they're not like offensive or something like that in a way that they shouldn't be. But like, I don't know, that seems silly to think that the sources are off limits, because, you know, to think that somebody can keep an entire dictionary in their brain at all times readily accessible is just like kind of absurd to me. Like we have resources for a reason, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the way it's been explained in the past is in terms of like, you know, how using a thesaurus could compromise like authenticity in some way. Like, you know, if you're using words that you yourself like either wouldn't use in daily life and or like don't actually know the meaning of, you know, is that in some way kind of misrepresenting, you know, yourself or your voice? Do you still kind of disagree with that point of view, or yeah, what's your take?
No, I do understand that a little more, and I feel like I would be much less likely to use a word that I've never heard before. But like whenever I look up synonyms, it's mostly just to try to gather up words that mean the same thing as what I'm looking for, because I can't think of them all together. But whenever I see them, like I'm like, oh yeah, that's a great word that I know that I didn't think of. So I use it more like that.
So you're
trying to look up new words to me, you know.
So you're trying to find words that you know but can't recall, sort of.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Okay, that's all right. So there's like, you would if you stumbled across, because we met people that like open thesauruses and they'll stumble across a word they've never seen before. And like, that's great. I want to use that word. That word, I don't know what it means. Like, I didn't know what it means. That's exciting. You would avoid one of those in your own writing.
I don't know if I'd go as far to say that I would avoid it, but I would probably be less likely to use it. I mean, I feel like if you find something that, you know, strikes you in a certain way, like I don't think you should be not allowed to use it. But I feel like I would just be more likely to use a word that I know that I just couldn't recall.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense. So another question that we wanted to ask was about your use of perspective, because songs off your EPs mostly adopt the plural kind of we perspective, as seen in the lyrics for Dreamland, Grime Boss, Chain Pain, and Mean Is What We Aim For. On the other hand, though, more of the lyrics from your new album seem to adopt that singular I perspective, as in Ego Death, Hesitation Wound, Rope Drag, Snifter, and Sugar Bastard. So were you aware of this kind of shift away from the plural to the singular perspective, and why do you reckon it occurred?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm honestly not sure. That it was not something I was totally cognizant of. Man, you kind of stumped me with that one. I have no idea.
Well, is the I in your lyrics representative of you yourself? Are you ever speaking in the role of someone else?
I do feel like whenever I was writing the lyrics for the EPs, they did feel maybe a little bit more generalized. Whereas like for the album, the lyrics I wrote, I did pull from a more personal level. So that could have something to do with it. You know, with topics like resisting the will of the universe to cause you harm, or like the environmental aspects of social grace. So like there is a little bit more personal pull in the lyrics on this album. So that could be, you know, why the lyrics ended up more first person.
Well, what about the use of we? When you use we in your songs, who do you think that's? Is that like you and the band? Is it like everybody?
Whenever I would use we, I would think of it as the entire human race, just like humankind in general.
I mean, how does it work? I wonder, like writing lyrics from that first person perspective when you're not actually going to be performing it. Like, do you discuss kind of song meanings and ideas with Elizabeth when you like present them to her? Or, you know, I just wonder how this kind of perspective translates.
Yeah, yes. Sometimes, like for some of the songs, the interpretations are more obvious than others, but you know, we did have a conversation about like social grace and stuff like that, like the environmental factors and things like that. So, we're pretty much on the same page about most things. So, it's not really something that is discussed a whole lot, but you know, I do mention like, oh, this is about this, or, you know, and she's like, oh, cool. That's pretty much it.
Is it odd at all though to like write I and then have somebody else say I?
No.
No? No. Okay.
I don't think so.
Never mind then. Never mind.
Yeah, I think we're just thinking like in the context of it, like being like, you know, coming, these songs coming from a potentially more personal place. It's kind of interesting then to think about like somebody else kind of representing that perspective.
I feel like it would be more weird if, you know, we weren't as close as we are, but, you know, we've been in a relationship for, you know, almost 6 years at this point. Like, you know, we're very, very like this. And I guess for people who are listening, I'm putting my two fingers together.
Yeah, no one will see that. We don't release video.
So yeah, like I feel like it would be different if we weren't as close as we are, but you know, it doesn't weird me out at all. I'm fine with having her speak for me.
Well, interestingly, you also have several songs that include no pronouns at all. So, for example, Total Rust, Slow Heat, and Blood Diamond contain no explicit perspective. So why do you reckon you decided to write these songs without specifying a perspective? Like, was this intentional? And how do you think that lack of perspective impacts the interpretation?
That's really interesting. I never noticed that. I think that goes back to just talking about sort of from the generalized perspective of humanity as a whole. And I feel like it makes it more just accessible in that way, rather than thinking about an individual person's perspective. It's just the plight of the entire human race.
So there kind of is like a we there again, even though it's not written.
Right. It's almost like an understood we instead of an understood you. it just more on a cosmic scale, I guess, if that makes sense, rather than just an individual perspective.
Sure. Okay. Well, moving to kind of to the nitty gritty of word choice, another interesting pattern we saw is that all but two of your song titles and EP album titles are 1 to 2 words in length, with Mean Is What We Aim For standing out as the only title track or EP title that is any longer. Do you know why you might prefer 1 or 2 word titles for the names of songs and albums?
Not particularly. Like I said, the way before that we come up with song titles is whenever we say a word or a phrase that stands out just in normal everyday conversation. It tends to be just, you know, a very short, like 2-word phrase usually. Not a fan of like overly long song titles for this genre of music. you know, for certain genres, a sentence long song name can be cool or funny, but I don't find myself leaning towards that for this style of music. I like to keep it short and sweet.
Is there a reason for that? Like what impact would having a long like song title or album title have?
I think it's for me, it's just a matter of taste. Like whenever I see a particularly long album title, I feel like it turns me off a little bit. So
even in other genres, sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned genre specificity earlier. Like if you see a long album title for like a black metal or like a tech death album, that also turns you off?
No, like those sorts of things, like that's more understandable, and just more, it jives more in my head. But for some reason, just like a super long name grindcore album is just kind of, I don't know, just weirds me out in a way that I can't describe. but you know, at the same time, like very specific band names do stand out to me that are really long. Like there's that band The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die. Like that sort of stuff stands out to me, but I don't know, it just didn't feel right to me for this. I like to keep things succinct, you know, as reflected in all sorts of things in our music. The songs are all pretty short. The whole album is only 20 minutes long. The lyric lines are short. Whenever I'm writing riffs, I try not to have any one part go on for too long. I don't like to repeat parts using traditional song structure. So I feel like it kind of just fits with my whole ethos on the creative aspect of the band.
So like there's a, just as kind of a thought experiment, there's a Japanese grindcore band called, I'm going to look this up because I can't pronounce it, Flagitious Idiosyncrasy and the Dilapidation. Does that sound like inappropriate to you?
I don't know if like inappropriate is the right word, but you know, it might not be the first thing I listen to between them and a band with a one word name.
Interesting. Okay, so if you saw that and like if you went to the grindcore section of a record shop, which I guess they don't, I don't know if they even exist anymore, but like and there was that and then just a band called like, I don't know, Dilapidation, right? Just take one word from it. You'd gravitate towards the other one if they're both in the grindcore genre?
Yeah, probably so.
Interesting. And
it's very strange. I can't say why. It's almost like a weird human nature thing at that point. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, something else you seem to avoid in your lyrics is apparently the past tense, as most of your lines are written in the present or future tenses. So at most you have lines like engulfed from below, trampled, severed, severed in pain, or broken in two, where an act was done to someone in the past. But even here, the grammatical context describes these attributes as a kind of current state. Indeed, your album doesn't have a single use of was, and the only past tense verbs appear in We Staked Our Claim and Picked Clean the Bones of Terror from the song Social Grace. Prior EPs follow a similar pattern as well. So, yeah, why do you think you choose kind of active here and now approaches rather than, you know, kind of recent events that are kind of over and done?
Man, this is so cool. Just like you guys making me think about all this stuff that I've never thought about before. I love it. Sorry, I sound like a broken record. It's just very cool.
No,
we appreciate
it. Yeah, it's much better than the opposite answer.
Yeah.
So, like, it's interesting, you know, me saying that because, like, I don't have like prepared answers for any of these things because I've never thought about them before. So now I have to like think about them and be like, oh, why did I do that? And just kind of think about it more, which is very cool. But anyway, thinking about like all the terrible things that humanity faces or humanity is responsible for, those things are all current. Those things are not past tense to me. Those are all things that are happening actively. And the only thing about Social Grace and, you know, maybe those couple of past tense words there were, you know, we've been destroying the environment for hundreds of years at this point, or even longer. So, yeah, that's the only thing I could think of for that. Like these, all of these topics feel very real and current, not things that used to happen or happened, you know, before, but are happening.
Do you think that writing in the present tense or like in that kind of like here and now framing impacts how the listener kind of engages with the lyrics? Like, I wonder if writing in the present tense makes these kind of events or issues appear more kind of urgent and immediate in like the listener's mind than if they were written as if they'd like already happened and, you know, passed.
I definitely think it could make the concepts feel closer. If that makes sense.
How so? What do you mean?
Well, just, you know, like if they happened in the past, they feel more distant, like less urgent, like you're saying. So yeah, things that are actively happening just feel closer and more urgent and more, I don't know. I need a thesaurus.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, earlier in the interview, you mentioned, you know, the creative writing background, and you actually mentioned that you're interested in some of the techniques of that. But we did notice in your writing, indeed, that you have a lot of rhyme and alliteration in lyrics like submerged, suffocating, sickening shit, like rats upon rot, feasting on festered flesh, pick clean the bones of Terra, God's seed is threshed. And tempted of grandeur, tempted of fate, without salvation, hell salivates. Beyond like that, you know, you read a lot. What is it about rhyme and alliteration that appeals to you? And what do you think these practices add to your songs, like to Brat's art? What would be lost if these techniques were left out of this project?
I think they just add a much more musical element to it. I tend to favor songs that rhyme more just because it just feels more musical to me. I don't know. I tend to shy away from lyrics that are more straightforward and matter of fact and sound almost like as if somebody is like talking directly to you, which a lot of hardcore bands do. Which for like certain like very aggressive styles of hardcore and stuff like I'm into, but I personally wouldn't write that. So yeah.
I mean, metal's known for, you know, a love of sort of dissonance and clashing, you know, the noise. Like your band definitely has like hardcore influence in it as well.
Oh yeah.
Is there anything odd about putting like these traditional poetic elements on top of music, which, you know, probably you wouldn't hear opening like a poetry reading, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I think it just further adds to the juxtaposition we've been talking about. Just, you know, without being like too overly flowery or anything like that, the idea of just having like these poetic lines over like a beat down hardcore riff is kind of funny to me. But you know, that's not necessarily what I intend, but it's just kind of a byproduct that I like.
Well, along with rhyme and alliteration, your lyrics and track titles also feature a few instances of wordplay. So, for instance, in the track title Sugar Bastard, obviously you're playing on the phrase Sugar Baby, and Grime Boss from Crime Bros, and the lyric Wishes Made Only in Vain has vain spelt V-E-I-N rather than V-A-I-N. So what's the purpose of this wordplay?
I'm just a fan of wordplay in general. I love puns and I love like spoonerisms and portmanteaus and all that sort of thing. So I'm just a big fan of wordplay in general. honestly, the vein, the V-I-N, I think that might have been a typo.
Oh.
that didn't get caught. That didn't
really?
Get caught in,
oh, well, scratch our next question then.
Yeah, we're going to ask about that because, you know, obviously that's like, you know, a bit of wordplay that's only accessible via the written mode, right? Because, like, obviously it makes no difference, you know, audibly speaking. So, okay. Well, if it's a typo, yeah.
You're going to ask, like, do you like, want people to read your lyrics to find these things? But never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if it is a typo, you don't want them to find them, right?
Right. That's hilarious.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, then skipping that question, the final kind of before our final question, our penultimate question here is that set of questions. We want to ask you about the use of swearing because swear words do appear semi regularly across lyrics for your LPs and the latest album. You have one fuck and one shit on Mean Is What We Aim For, bitch and bitch muscle, obviously, and four fucks and one bastard on your new album. This isn't like the highest level of swearing we've ever seen in a metal album, of course, by any extent, but it's also not the lowest. It seems like consistent but not excessive. Is this kind of a reflection of your goal with swearing, and what is your goal with swearing in lyrics in part as part of the band's output?
Well, I feel like it just adds a certain like emphasis or even like griminess to certain lines. It just makes them feel just more like cruddy, I guess, for lack of a better word. Just for some of the like negative viewpoints on humanity and things like that, it just feels more abrasive and helps get across what I'm trying to get across. But, you know, I'm not trying to be just like overly excessive with it because I feel like it would lose its impact or you know, just come off as like silly at a certain point. But yeah, I feel like for the most part, it just adds emphasis and abrasiveness.
Is it like offensiveness a goal at all?
No, not particularly. That's not what we're trying to go for, but we're also not trying to be like a completely clean band either. Just whatever comes out lyrically comes out.
So why then do you reckon you've gravitated towards swear words like fuck in place of others like crap or cunt?
That's a good question. Well, one thing I can say is that neither of those words are in my regular vocabulary. So that probably has something to do with it.
Crap isn't?
No, don't say crap too much.
Huh. Okay. I mean, the other one is very understandable. It's I mean, in Australia it's a bit more common, but like
right,
so you'd say like you use fuck more than crap like on a day-to-day?
Yeah, definitely.
Huh. What about shit?
Yeah, fucking shit. Very, very common words in my vocabulary. So I don't swear excessively or anything like that, but you know, it's not like I try purposely to refrain from swearing. Just comes out when it comes out.
So rather than like, if you had to use shit, if you're in a situation where you wanted to use shit, but you couldn't because of whatever social, like, you know, norms, you wouldn't go down a step to crap. You just like drop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it's funny that you asked that because, I don't know if she'd get mad at me for saying this, but Elizabeth's family is a little bit more on the religious side. So whenever I visit family, you know, I have to take swear words out of my vocabulary and sure. I just don't say any, you know.
Okay, interesting. So it's an all or nothing sort of.
Yeah, pretty much.
What about like is that why we didn't see any dams? Is that also like not heavy enough for what you're trying to do with Brat?
Yeah, it doesn't feel abrasive enough to me.
Okay. Interesting. I
feel like to me there's a difference between like offensiveness mm-hmm. and abrasiveness.
Sure.
So I feel like I lean more towards just trying to be more like punchy and abrasive rather than just downright offensive, because that's not something I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, thank you for entertaining this sort of thought experiment. We never had something like Like, we've had people talk about swords, but it's rare that we get someone who's able to, like, rank them and yeah. place them, like, and he's kind of like, so interesting. So like, fucking shit and those, they have the abrasive quality that some of the other ones don't, whereas ones like cunt was mentioned earlier, it goes beyond what you're looking for, in a way.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost, like, so abrasive that it's, like, jarring in a way that it'll take you out of it, because after mm-hmm. you hear the word cunt in the lyrics, that's all you're gonna be able to focus on. You're like, well, wait a second, did he just say cunt? Like, mm-hmm. you know, that, and that's not what I want. Like, I want people to actually just, if they're gonna focus on the lyrics, to actually just focus on the lyrics and not be like, wow, he just said cunt, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a little bit too far for me. Like, it would take me out of it.
That's great. No, thank you. We talk about swearing with every artist we interview. I think this is the one being like one of the most detailed and fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. I think that leads in nicely to our final question, which is just, if you were to summarize, how would you describe the role of lyrics in Bratz music?
That is a good question. Mostly, I would say for me personally, just as an outlet, because, you know, I'm not the one who's performing most of these lyrics. So. Yeah, you know, I don't want us to be an instrumental band, so we have to write lyrics. Yeah, I don't know. A specific role for the lyrics. Yeah, I don't really know what else I have to say about that. That one kind of sums me.
Well, you mentioned an outlet. Like, does Liz find, like you mentioned, and earlier in the interview, you talked about it being kind of therapeutic, a release of negative energy. Does Elizabeth also find that, like, even though she didn't write them, or do they have that effect for her?
I would think so. Actually, one second. She's walking up right now. If she could answer that herself.
Yeah. Let's hop her in for the final question.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
You want to come answer this final question?
Oh, sure. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. What's so, up?
We were just asking, as like our final set of questions, what is the role of lyrics in Bratz music? And we were told that we were a bit stumped, so we thought maybe you could hop in and answer that.
I was saying that for me, like, writing the lyrics is kind of just an outlet for me, but mm-hmm. I'm not the person who has to perform most of them. So what is the role for you?
I don't even know what I mean. The role for me? I don't know. To sing them? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he probably told you that he writes almost all the lyrics. I've written lyrics for like a couple songs, but that's about it. So yeah, I feel like as far as lyrical content, you're the expert on that.
Are you, do you feel like performing these lyrics that I write are in any way like an outlet for you too?
I mean, I think the performance as a whole is like a kind of an outlet in general. I don't know if it's particularly like
the lyrics
pertaining
themselves.
The lyrics, like to the lyrics, but yeah. And I also feel like people don't know our lyrics, you know, so it's like, I don't know, they're the performance, yeah, definitely like is an outlet for me, but I don't think it's like because of the content of the lyrics.
Yeah
I don't know if that's a good answer, so
that
probably didn't answer your question.
That's interesting. But it's interesting to think about, just because like what then is the purpose of the lyrics, right? Like if the lyrics aren't necessarily like the component of the music that serves as this kind of outlet for you, then like, you know, what purpose do the lyrics serve then?
Yeah. So maybe we should do no lyrics.
No.
All instrumental.
Well, like this kind of goes back to something we asked about a while back, but a lot of the lyrics do have like an I in them. And when you're handed those and you have to say I, but it was written by someone else, is there a disconnect there? Or do you, when you're singing it live, when you're performing it or, you know, in the recording booth, are you able to connect with that I?
When I'm performing, it's like, I'm not even thinking about that at all. Like, I'm not thinking about the lyrical content at all. I'm thinking like, how can I make this performance as like dynamic and entertaining and fun and intense as possible? And I'm not really necessarily like dissecting the lyrics, you know, when I'm performing. I'm like also thinking about, you know, my vocals themselves, of like trying to make sure I sound good while still giving a good performance.
So it's more about the production than what the actual words are?
For me, yeah, since I don't write the words. For me, it's about the production, for sure.
Interesting.
I'm sure the words are more, mean more to you since you write them. I'm sure, I don't know how much you've discussed already, so I don't know if I'm like rehashing things a lot, but I know he pulls a lot from like Stephen King and we touched on all the lyrical content.
Yeah, we've,
okay,
we've,
yeah.
We've
covered so a lot I don't know ground. If you've talked about already or not. But
no, we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he was very forthcoming about the Stephen King influence.
Okay. good. Yeah. That's where a lot of like the lyrics come from. It's just like that kind of that style.
Well, to take a step, like, I guess outside for the final question that we asked, like to just move one step backwards, what do you think is the role of lyrics in extreme metal as a genre more broadly?
I'm not going to lie. We are, our band, our whole brand is Bimbo Violence. So we don't dig too deep into things like that. Like, we keep it really lighthearted and fun. And it's like about having a good time and having a blast. We're not an intellectual band by any means. So I don't feel like I can be like, here's the broad sweeping meaning of lyrics in, you know, metal as a whole or whatever, you know. Like the purpose of this band is to have fun and have a good time.
Yeah, I feel like the purpose of lyrics in metal as a whole is completely subjective and up to the listener and the writer separately, and it's just you know, it can mean something different to everyone.
Yeah, that's a good question. Good point.
I mean, not to like shove an answer in your mouths or something, but is part of the creation of having fun perhaps part of the role of lyrics in what you guys do, even if it's just part of the performance on stage?
Yeah. It's fun for me to write these lyrics and it's fun for her to perform them. So
yeah, that's the root of everything we do with regards to Brett. So
well, sick.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you both so much for hopping on, especially Elizabeth, thank you for jumping in last minute. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. It was nice to have the long in-depth interview, but it's good we could get both of your voices on here, even just for a brief minute at the end there.
Yeah,
totally. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I've been like, I don't even remember how. I think it was, I stumbled across one of your EPs like last year and was like, this is awesome. This is great. And then we're on Prosthetic's mailing list. And so all of a sudden we get a thing saying like, Brat signed to Prosthetic. And I was like, can we interview these guys? Like,
Awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So we're sick. Very, thank you very much. It's a delight to talk to you. And we're very excited for the full album to drop.
Oh, yeah. Thank you all so much.
Speaking of such things, what would be the best place for people to kind of check out, you know, your music, new releases, keep up with touring schedules and that kind of thing?
Probably Instagram. That's probably where we're the most active. And which is just Brat_band. And in our bio, we have our link tree, which has pretty much everything. It has our website with our merch, our upcoming shows, press kit, you know, everything you might need is on the Instagram.
Awesome. That will be linked in the description.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thank you again very much both for your time. It was really insightful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having us.
Cool.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Have a good evening.
All right. You too. Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Lingua Ritalica. We hope you enjoyed it and we hope you stay tuned for our next episode. Before we leave, we just wanted to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay respects to their elders, past and present.